Good afternoon. It's good to be back up here again. This afternoon, I'm going to focus our attentions to a small but important book of the Bible, a book that we've probably read many times, and I know I have, and just overlooked it very quickly. And that book is 3 John. So if you will turn your Bibles there, we're going to be spending our lesson tonight, just like we did this morning, but we're going to be in 3 John. We're going to be studying this chapter and breaking it down again, just like we did this morning in Romans. But we're going to be looking at many valuable lessons we see here, mentioning three men in this short book. There are many times that we read verses like this and we just glimpse over it and don't give it much thought. But we need to understand that these books are in the Bible for a reason. And I feel that once we go through this lesson tonight in the third John, we're going to be learning that there are many lessons that we need to learn from on how we need to be in our everyday life. There are many times in our studies that we wonder what the early church was like. We know a lot about early leaders. We study all the time in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We talk about Paul. We talk about Peter. But what about the average Christians in the early church? Were they more spiritual than Christians today? Did they experience the same kinds of problems we face today? I feel that the lesson tonight in 3 John gives us a good look into these questions. But most importantly, as we go through, we must all, as individual Christians, determine what kind of Christian we're striving to be. What kind of Christian that we need to be. We're going to start off by reading the first 8 verses of 3 John. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be good or in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth." Verse 5, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." And we're going to stop there for now before we go on. We start our reading here in 3 John looking at a letter from John that he sent to a dear friend named Gaius. Now, Gaius was a common Roman name, and we see that he was a prosperous man who John loved deeply and he cared for. We read in verses 1 and 2 that he wished him good health, good physical and spiritual health. One thing that impresses me the most about this man is that he had, in just a few verses here, we see what a wonderful reputation he had in the church and with those that he encountered. It describes in verse 3 that his brethren testified to his truth, meaning that they were talking about Gaius and the work that he had done for the growth of that congregation and the church as a whole. John rejoiced greatly that he heard from others how the truth was in Gaius. And as I was putting this together, I'm thinking, you know, what exactly does that mean? What do we mean when we talk about the truth is in you? John 14, verse 6 says, and this is Jesus speaking, and it's a common scripture to many of us. It says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So having this truth in me is meaning that we have Jesus in our lives. And it's not just a word, it's not just a name that we carry, but it's the actions that we're living by. So Gaius is an example worthy of following today. He had a great reputation with his fellow Christians as well as from the Apostle John. I also want to point out before we go any further, something we see here from John, the example we learn from here in this passage. John thought it was important to take the time to pray for physical and spiritual needs on behalf of Gaius. He prays that Gaius would prosper in all good things and have good health. And we need to make sure that we're making that part of our life today, that we need to make the prayer important in all parts of our lives, praying for other spiritual and physical needs of others in this life. While we may certainly pray for our material prosperity, and we do from time to time, and we should be thankful for that, let us not lose sight of the fact that our greatest need is spiritual, the spiritual blessings that will last forever. Concentrating our efforts on prospering spiritually, may the Lord in His divine wisdom and grace bless us according to that. I want to move on, though, and I want to look at and spend some time in the next two verses. In 3 John 1, starting in verse 9 and 10, it says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and put them out of the church. Unfortunately, we talked about Gaius, and we talked about how he had great reputation within the church and done many good things. And John encourages him here, but here we see another man that's mentioned in this letter that does not possess that same spirit, does not have that same reputation as Gaius. And his name, as we read, is Diotrephes. Here is a man that simply was claiming to be walking in the truth, but his actions, and by his actions, he was destroying the church piece by piece. Listen again to the condemnation that John speaks of concerning Diotrephes. He says, likes to put himself first. He says, does not acknowledge the authority of the apostles, talks wicked nonsense against the apostles or gossiping, refuses to welcome the brothers. And not only that, he stops those and puts Christians out of the church if they choose to welcome them. Here's a man in just two verses in the entire Bible that describes his character, and this is how he's remembered. When I first read this passage, it's one of those that, again, you just read and you often overlook what's going on because John is talking about a specific issue here, and that's true. But look at the lessons we can learn from this as well today. Do we see this happening within ourselves, within the congregations? Is John describing, maybe a little closer home, is he describing me? Is he describing you? We live in a world of a me-first generation, where the spirit of Diotrephes is all around us. It should not surprise us at all when the church is so influenced by the world where people say, but I want, but I think. There is no room in the kingdom for the me-first mentality. When this mentality exists is when we see more sin and more problems follow. John simply writes the words, he does not receive us. It may seem incredible that one would refuse to accept and submit to the disciples that Jesus loved, those who were apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. But because of his love to be first, there was no room in Diotrephes' heart for someone over him in matters of authority. He wanted to be in charge. He was going to be in charge, and no one was going to get in his way. We have to look at the problems with Diotrephes' character. First, he rejected the Apostle John's authority. Second, he sought to break fellowship between the church and John. And this motivation for this conduct was his desire to be first. In other words, Diotrephes felt that maybe it was because of his age, maybe because of his knowledge, we're not sure, but his position in the church justified his actions. He was he also was acting for the purpose of protecting that position. No one was going to get in his way. He wasn't promoting Christ. He wasn't out to spread the gospel and the word. He was out to promote himself. In order to protect his position, he was gossiping maliciously about the apostles. Meaning he's intentionally telling things that were not true and doing it from a position of malice. Anytime we see a person who is acting in malice, we know that he is not motivated by God. It's one thing to stand up for what is right, but malice has no place in the life of a believer, and therefore malicious conduct is also out of place. Diotrephes also had managed to block the church from fellowshipping and demonstrating hospitality to those who were representing the apostles. It wasn't enough for him to stop people from showing their generosity, but he went a step further and was even seeking to excommunicate those who did show generosity, excommunicate them from the fellowship of the church. I mean, just think about that. Imagine that, being thrown out of a congregation for demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ, the example that he had given us. John declares strongly that when he comes in person, he will call to attention this man's sinful conduct. We see others who would do the same thing. We saw the Apostle Paul wasn't afraid to name names when he saw someone acting publicly in a wrong manner. Jesus taught us to bring disputes publicly to the church when our private efforts to resolve them have failed. Diotrephes' public conduct was obvious for all to see, and John promised to further expose the sinfulness of this man's actions when he came. It would have been a simple thing for Gaius to act like Diotrephes. And this is the temptation that many believers face when we find conflict in the church where it shouldn't be. When we return evil for evil, we are violating scriptural principles. Gaius is warned here. John warns Gaius to recognize that Diotrephes is not speaking of God, speaking for God. His actions have demonstrated that he is not serving God, but he is serving himself. Does the spirit of Diotrephes appear today when Christians engage in malicious conduct? Malicious gossiping. We may think it may be innocent conversations, but it's gossip. Are there someone who feels that they are in a position of authority and abuse it today? But moving on from Diotrephes, I'd like to look at verse 12, if you'll read with me, in 3 John. It says, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. The third man that I want us to consider is a Christian man named Demetrius that we just read about. Here is another man that's introduced in this small book, and John encourages Gaius to pattern himself after and imitate Demetrius because of his good nature towards godly manners. He had an outstanding report among the brethren from the church, or from the truth of God's word, from John, from all of the surrounding apostles. Again, I find some simple things impressive at times, and it's impressive to me that there's not much said about Demetrius in this one verse, describing who he was or anything, but we're told so much of who we need to be by his example. From my studies, it's believed that Demetrius was a courier and delivered letters from the apostles from other congregations. I mean, if you think about it, in those days, Christianity wasn't an accepted thing. And if you would send a letter from the apostles or Paul or any other one like that into another congregation, and it went through the common carrier system, there's a couple chances of things happening. One, it's never going to make it. It's never going to make it to where it needs to be. And if it does, the chances of that letter being altered are likely, so that the wrong message gets given to the church. But if you had a man such as Demetrius who was respected, and you knew that he stood for the truth, then when he delivered a message with his reputation and his love for God, then you knew that message was true. So who do you try and reflect to be today? One who is encouraging to be around? One who is striving to help fellow man and other Christians? I'd like to turn our minds back to Philippians 2. I know I read most of this morning, and Taylor read it again today, but I want to read these 11 verses again to keep our minds along this sermon here. Philippians 2, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Unlike Diotrephes, we need to lose that self-ambition and know that this life, everything that we do in this life, we need to pattern ourselves after Jesus and do this for God. Live our life for God. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 12 tells us to let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Are you reflecting someone that others can be proud to reflect and carry on the godly traditions by being a wonderful example? We're encouraged to be that person that those around you know and trust by the way you live your life. We're encouraged to be Demetrius. Or are we reflecting one of those who are about self and desire things that impact self? More importantly, what kind of example are we setting today? If John would have written a letter mentioning your name, would it have said, what would it have said? Would it be for you to prosper and give you words of encouragement? Would it have condemned you, your desire to be number one? Or would it set you as a trusted pattern for all to follow? Since it appears that we are all creatures of habit, creatures who will imitate something, let us make the choice to imitate that which is good. Only then do we have the hope of being of God. Only then can we have testimony like that of Demetrius, to which all are witness. The alternative is to imitate evil, and this evil will prevent us from ever seeing God. So when we review this simple but important book of the Bible, 3 John, that Gaius did right in supporting fellow Christians who came his way and encouraged him to continue that hospitality. The purpose also was to express condemnation of Diotrephes for rejecting John, rejecting others who he should have been the one to receive. He should have received them and created a negative, and instead he created a negative influence on the church. And then lastly, we see that John utilized the life of Demetrius and shows Christians today exactly how important it is to be that example, that great example to all that are around us. So I encourage you today to let us strive after the spirit of those who welcomed all with open arms and to be the best example we can be for the Lord while putting aside our self-ambitions, our selfish desires at times. We close this service by adding these words of the writer in Hebrews in chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, where it says, "And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise." This afternoon I ask, do you want to inherit the promise? Do you want to have that home in heaven? You don't have to have a running list of sinful conduct like Diotrephes and the things we read of him to keep you from entering into heaven. No, we don't need a list at all. We just have to continue sitting there and saying, I will not be a Christian. I will not obey what God has commanded. So I ask you now, why are you waiting? Do you not understand the importance? Do you think that maybe you're too young and you have time? Or are you like Diotrephes that has the me first attitude, only concerned about what you want and pushing aside what God wants and what God commands? Don't be a Diotrephes today. Change your life, be baptized, and start walking in the faith and the path that leads to heaven. I'd ask you to think of these things as together we stand and sing.